What is up, guys? My name's Jordan. I'm back with my old man, Howie, and welcome to episode 44 of the Jacobs Dynasty Sports Podcast.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the show. It's been quite a while since we last had the opportunity to record. Gosh, how long has it been?
I think it's week 10 of the two seasons ago in the NFL, week 10. So like two Novembers ago.
Wow. Wow.
So it's been a while.
God, and so much has changed in our lives since then.
I mean, has it though? The Chiefs are still on top. I mean, I guess the Nuggets won last year. They're the favorite to win this year. We'll get into that a little bit later. What else? I mean, the Rangers won the World Series. That was pretty surprising. UConn, still the champions. So, yeah, some things have changed, but some things have stayed the same. But one thing that has not stayed the same is our tribal chief, Roman Reigns, in WWE, losing his World Universal Championship belt to the American Nightmare, Cody Rhodes, at WrestleMania.
Yeah, that was a good intro, bud.
Thank you.
I like it. I like it. You know, go ahead.
No, you're good.
No, I was going to say, it is interesting how you point out that as difficult it is to win some of these championships, that the Chiefs, in arguably the most difficult league to win, have now won, what, three of the last 4 years?
They have not won three of the last four, but they've made the Super Bowl, I think, four of the last five, because they lost to Brady.
That's really impressive.
So, yeah.
That's really impressive. UConn winning the NCAA men's championship 2 years in a row, extremely impressive, difficult to do. Michigan winning the national championship.
Go Blue.
Yeah. It's important to point that out just because Jordan is completing his junior year at Michigan. And it's not a coincidence that Michigan is coming off the three most successful years in their football program, probably in the last 25 years.
Yeah. I mean, picked a good time to come to Michigan, if I do say so myself.
I would agree. And I'm not so sure about the fall of this year, but it will certainly be interesting from a matchup standpoint. I mean, college football is just, with NIL, all college sports are just the Wild West, but maybe that's something we'll talk about more on a different episode, although Michigan does have its spring game coming up on Saturday, and spring games are now a thing where they're on major networks, and I think Michigan's going to be on Fox,
and we're actually having a tailgate for it, surprisingly enough. So we're having a tailgate for the spring scrimmage, which is just crazy, just after Michigan's year.
I think it's a great idea to do that, especially if the weather's nice, and see which one of Michigan's seven quarterbacks will look like they're taking the lead. Although I have to tell you something, and listen, it's our show. We could jump around. We could talk about different things. I saw 2 minutes of highlights on Twitter today of the Penn State quarterback.
Drew Aller? Yes.
And, man, it did not look good. Considering that he was, I guess, a five-star recruit, and he's now going into his third season, but really his second season of probably being a full-time starter, and it didn't look good, even though I guess Penn State's supposed to be pretty good this year.
Yeah, and surprisingly enough, I think he's projected to go top five in the draft next year, which is saying something considering the draft right now, which is a week and a half away, probably has four quarterbacks going in the top five, who I would say are all better than Drew Aller at this point. And then there's guys like, and the four quarterbacks I'm talking about, obviously Caleb Williams, Drake May, Jaden Daniels, and Michigan's own J.J. McCarthy. But then you got guys like Michael Penix, who was in the national championship, Bo Nix, who's coming off like 6 or 7 years in college, and he's projected to go first rounds. Then you got guys like Spencer Rattler and just other people like that. So it should be interesting to see college football, how it shapes up next season. But, I mean, Texas A&M, Ohio State, Georgia, all those schools pour tons of money into NIL. And Georgia has won, but schools like Ohio State, like, This is, we say it every year, the past 3 years, this is do or die for them. Like, this might be do or die for them because they, I think, spent $8 million. They got,
like, I think 13 yeah, million.
They got the number one transfer, Caleb Downs. Then they got Sayin, who's going to be a backup to Will Howard, who's at Kansas State. They got Emeka Buka coming back. They got Travion Henderson. It's just, I read today.
It's an embarrassment of riches.
Yeah, I read today that Ohio State has the second best defense this year and the third best offense, second best defense behind Michigan, and then best offense, I believe, is behind like Oregon, Texas, Georgia, a combination of those two. But it's just, well, thankfully it's a 12-team playoff because that means more games for us and just should be fun.
Well, it's interesting because to your point about the defense for Ohio State, the offense, and obviously we're way out from the season starting, and sometimes projections don't translate, often don't translate to reality. But in reading a review or highlights of their spring game, they said the defense was ridiculous. And that's saying something going against one of the most loaded offenses. But, and we've talked about this, I think when you pay that much money to players, individuals, it's very difficult to get them to come together on the same page. It's one of the reasons why coach like Nick Saban decided to retire, because I think he had a recruit that asked him how much money he was going to pay him. And I think when you get into this new college football playoffs, guys are going to be thinking about not getting injured when they get to the NFL. The other thing is, which was interesting because we saw it with Michigan this year, is as much as you want your team to win the championship, and we're all about, we're living in a society of what have you done for me lately, what have you done for me yesterday, we were so psyched for Michigan to win the championship, even if it means they're not going to be nearly as good this upcoming year. But one of the negatives is that when you go deep and keep playing up to the championship, other teams are like making coaching moves. They're making player moves. They're making moves for next season. I guess it's a small price to pay for winning a championship, but you got guys who can get banged up. You got guys who are focused on going to the NFL. So it is going to be very, very interesting to see how the college football playoffs goes this year. But that's just touching upon that. Earlier in the call, Jordan alluded to the seismic changes in the world of professional wrestling. As the Rock would say, or the final boss, wrestling getting more attention than it's probably gotten in a while. But WrestleMania last weekend, a week and a half ago, certainly a highlight for wrestling fans and probably casual fans who don't pay as much attention to wrestling as other fans do.
Yeah, no, it was we went to night one of WrestleMania, didn't go to night two, which some would say that's a disappointment considering the main event, which we'll touch upon in a bit. But we were able to see, I think in our opinion, there were three matches that really stood out. Rhea Ripley versus the women's champion, Rhea Ripley, taking on Becky Lynch. Rhea Ripley won, and ironically, and unfortunately, she just had to relinquish the title at the beginning of Monday Night Raw about an hour ago. So,
but she's now the former women's champion.
Yeah, so she'll be back. I mean, she is the heart and soul of that division. And then the two other matches, one being Gunther versus Sami Zayn. Gunther is a personal favorite of mine. It was for the Intercontinental Champion, and I believe Gunther had 666-day reign, second longest behind, obviously, the Tribal Chief Roman Reigns, which we will touch upon. But
well, for a champion, but the yes.
Longest Intercontinental Champion, but second longest reign out of all the champions at that time, who had belts. And Sami Zayn, who will be on later tonight in the main event against Chad Gable, dug deep, won it, and I think the call for him winning it just has to do with pushing Gunther even farther to what he's already become and making him that main event world title picture. And then finally, what was probably one of the most entertaining matches, and pretty predictable but still entertaining just because you got four of the top guys, Seth Rollins and Cody Rhodes taking on the final boss, The Rock, and his cousin, the champion at the time, Roman Reigns.
Yeah, no, it was very entertaining. Jordan and I were fortunate enough to go with my father. And anytime you can go and have those type of experiences with family members about a shared passion, it's always memorable. We could have went Sunday night. We had a choice, but Jordan wanted to get back to his classes, so we have to respect that. Sunday night, probably up there, debatably, arguably, as the most entertaining WrestleMania of all time. From the get-go, Seth Rollins against Drew McIntyre, fantastic. Drew always had a complaint that he never got a chance to win the championship in front of a crowd because he won it during COVID. So he got what he wanted in a storyline that ended up being bittersweet because he did win the championship. He got to present the title to his girlfriend or his wife. He got to celebrate. And then in a continuation of fantastic storylines, a refocus on storylines in, let's call it, the Triple H, Paul Levesque, WWE content, creative officer era, CM Punk attacked Drew McIntyre after the match, or Drew sort of instigated it. CM Punk took his legs out from under him, hit him with his tricep cast, and Damian Priest came out and cashed in the Money in the Bank championship to take the championship from Drew McIntyre in near record time.
Yeah, it was definitely interesting. Good for Damian Priest, held on to that briefcase, Money in the Bank, for a while, but I don't know how long his reign's going to last for. Happy for him, happy for the Judgment Day, but I think the end goal is Gunther becoming the champion, like we were speaking on before. And later in the match, obviously, Cody Rhodes versus Roman Reigns Part 2. American Nightmare got the job done, beat the Tribal Chief after like a 1,300-day reign. And it was bittersweet because everyone, obviously, Cody, the underdog story, in what was probably the most chaotic main event, like you said. John Cena was there, Undertaker, The Rock, and Cody Rhodes pulled it off, and everyone was happy. He finished his so-called story just being able to capture the world championship, and something his father, the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes, was never able to do. But I think the bitter part of it is that for a lot of people, Roman Reigns, and I get to speak for myself here, that Roman Reigns was probably, I don't know if saving WWE is the correct term, but he made WWE, in my opinion, what it is today, just taking the title during COVID with no fans and the Bloodline story, elevating his entire family, and it's still going today with his cousin Solo Sikoa. They're bringing in new guys, but he held that place down for 4 years, and he'll be back soon enough, most likely, to take on The Rock, but gotta give him his flowers for doing that.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, he did an incredible job, and it's funny when you look back to when he first won the title during COVID. I think he had left because he had a relapse of his leukemia. And then he came back. He came back with Paul Heyman, or the newly minted Hall of Fame Paul Heyman, who probably gave the greatest Hall of Fame speech of all time and is widely known as one of the greatest storytellers, story writers, and certainly a key part of the Bloodline, as well as other principal wrestlers' careers prior to that. But yeah, I mean, Roman talks about, and Paul Heyman talk about, that during COVID, when they didn't have the crowds, that they made a concerted effort to refocus on storylines and emotion, facial expressions. And that was sort of a precursor to what they're trying to do again under Triple H's direction, where they're really starting to focus on long-term storylines. The main event that Jordan alluded to, with Roman Reigns and Cody, it had a bunch of storylines from past wrestling history tying back together, including, I thought, one of the best ones was Seth Rollins coming out to the Shield music. And I think for a moment, everybody was sort of like, wait, well, Roman Reigns certainly wasn't going to come back out as a member of the Shield. But people were like, is Dean Ambrose or Jon Moxley going to be coming back out? And you know, there was a chair in the ring, and Roman was faced with a choice of hitting Cody with the chair or hitting Seth Rollins with a chair, and in like sort of a quasi acid flashback to Seth Rollins turning on the other members of the Shield 10 years ago, he chose to hit Seth Rollins, and Seth Rollins fulfilled his prophecy to Cody of being his Shield. Arguably, Seth Rollins was probably ultimately the MVP of WrestleMania weekend. He was involved in so many ways. He's been injured. And I think even The Rock posted on his Instagram or his Twitter yesterday or today that Seth Rollins, who he referred to so fondly during this latest run as the clown emoji, but he referenced Seth Rollins as the MVP of the weekend. But just tremendous and sort of some funny stuff. Just John Cena coming out, obviously very entertaining. It's interesting because I think John Cena has like an obsession with the bald spot in the back of his head, because I think when he was on screen, he like covered up his hair or like smoothed out his hair like 5 or 6 times. I thought that was interesting. And then the other thing that I read today was that The Undertaker mentioned that he found out that he was being asked to play a role in the main event of Sunday night 2 of WrestleMania right before it started. And internet speculation is that was supposed to be Stone Cold Steve Austin's spot. He decided not to do it because he thought it would have taken away from Cody's victory. But anyway, it's the age of the American Nightmare. We'll see what Cody can do here. You know, sometimes the fans turn on you when you actually achieve your goals. So we'll see what happens from here.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah, should be interesting to see. Want to switch it over real quick to playoff season's right tomorrow, not even around the corner. It's tomorrow for the NBA. The play-in starts tomorrow with the Lakers and Pelicans facing off in the first play-in 7-8 round, as well as I believe the Sixers and Miami Heat will also be facing off. And then Wednesday, the 9 and 10s will play in the winner.
Yeah, that's Wednesday. Wednesday. It's the Western Conference tomorrow and the Eastern Conference Wednesday.
So the loser of the first game tomorrow will play the winner, which is a game between Warriors and the Kings. And then on the other side, it's Sixers and Heat. Loser of that will play the winner of the Hawks, Bulls. So should be interesting. I mean, the Lakers, I guess we'll just take a look at the Western Conference as a whole. The Thunder, Nuggets, and Timberwolves pretty much have the same exact season. With the Thunder finishing 1, Nuggets finishing 2. Very impressive season for the Thunder, obviously. Yeah. I think they're the youngest team ever to clinch the 1 seed in either conference. So kudos to Shai Gilgeous, Chet Holmgren. Basically his rookie season. He didn't get to play last year during his actual rookie season. Just all around great coaching, great management. They also have tons of draft picks. But right behind them, the Denver Nuggets. Obviously the defending champs. So they're a favorite. The Timberwolves playing the Suns. So I guess we can just look at each matchup. Just starting off with, we'll start from the middle and work our way back just because these are definites. The Mavericks and Clippers, I think this is like the third time they're facing off in round 1, which is crazy. And I mean, I guess the main player is Luka in this scenario because he is going to dictate how the series goes.
Yeah, he's had a ridiculous season. It's interesting to think, I think, you know, last year when we got a small taste, I guess, right before the All-Star break of Kyrie going to Dallas, and then they missed the playoffs somewhat intentionally because they didn't want to convey a good draft pick to the Knicks, and they really came together this year. I think Luka took it to another level, which is pretty hard to believe. MVP candidate, but I would actually pick Dallas to win that. I think Kawhi's a little banged up. I think James Harden has had some flashes of greatness fitting in with the Clippers, but I think Dallas is going to win that series, and it's possible that the Clippers could actually be broken up after this season.
Yeah.
Be interesting to see.
I agree. I expect my pick is Dallas, but I would not be surprised if the Clippers won just between their veterans. Kawhi's a winner. He's done it in the past. So, and obviously Paul George, Harden, Westbrook, they all have a little bit of experience. So I would not be surprised with either, but I do have Dallas. And then when looking at the 3-6, I think just as close as that's as the Mavericks Clippers series, you got the Suns taking on the Timberwolves, and it's kind of annoying for the Timberwolves just because they were at the top for so long. They had the 2 seed going in to yesterday, and now they're stuck with the Phoenix Suns in round 1, which I don't necessarily think is a bad thing, but just annoying for them, and I expect that game to go 6 or 7. And once again, I don't even know who I have. I probably would say the Suns, just because I still think Timberwolves are young. KD, D-Book have championship experience, but I see it going either way. And then looking at the ones and twos versus sevens and eights, I mean, like, I expect the Lakers to beat the Pelicans, just because I don't, when it, like, it's a one game on the line type of thing. LeBron usually comes up clutch, but it's interesting to note that the winner of that gets to play the Nuggets, so it would be kind of interesting to see if one of these teams looks like they are intentionally losing and just banking on winning that, getting that 18 and playing the Thunder in round one. Because, I mean, Lakers, Nuggets swept them last year, but LeBron, AD have been electric this year. So I think, and then, I don't know.
They've been electric, but they're in the play-in, you know?
I mean, they're also 13 games above 500 in a loaded West, but
it is loaded.
Every matchup's a heavy hitter, and then if the Lakers, I expect the Lakers to win, I expect the Warriors to win, so that'll leave the Warriors and Pelicans to face off, and it's tough to bet against the Warriors in that type of situation, but then you got the Warriors and Thunder, so, I mean, all phenomenal series in the West, and then same thing in the East. I mean, we can touch upon some of these pretty quick, but Cavs Magic, like, obviously not an eye-popping matchup, but it should be a close one. Then you got Bucks Pacers, Giannis injured. Once again, I expect that to be pretty close. And then, like, at the top, you got the Knicks and the Celtics. Obviously, the Knicks are banged up, but they're getting the Sixers or Heat round one. And I expect the loser of that game to make it. So then, are the Celtics really going to get the Heat again as for a 1-8 matchup? It's just like...
Wait. How would that work that they could get the Heat?
If the Sixers and Heat play each other and the Sixers win, the Heat will play the winner of the Bulls and Hawks, and the winner of that gets the 8 seed. So it's like Celtics Heat. The Celtics are the 1 seed. They're like 64 and like 18 or something like that. And or like maybe like, yeah, something like that. But they could be stuck playing the team that kicked them out last year.
It's so interesting because when they originally came up with the concept for the play-in, I think, you know, people are just like skeptical about how it's going to work. And listen, I'm sure our good friend Mark Tatum, deputy commissioner for the NBA, probably had something to do with that decision making. And it's just so interesting how it comes into reality as just being something so good. And when you look at the records of these teams in both conferences, it's like, other than the Celtics, who were just heads above everybody, and people still don't pick them necessarily to be the favorite to win, and other than the Bulls and who are the Bulls playing?
Bulls are playing the Hawks, which is just...
They were on the lower end from a record standpoint. Everybody else was, like, right in the mix, and it's interesting because with the same records, but like Jordan and I were saying yesterday, it's like, who would have picked the Thunder to be the number one seed in the West? Like, talk about, like, their GM, is it Sam Presti still? I think should definitely be GM of the year. That's just crazy. They still have more draft picks than any other team in the NBA available to them. And then the Knicks getting number two. And it's like, there are these articles about, like, Orlando or the Cleveland wanting to lose yesterday to give themselves a better position in the first round matchup. And it's like, the Knicks just did what they did all season. They're like, Tom Thibodeau mentality, tough as nails. Jalen Brunson, I wouldn't say he's the best player in the East, but he's certainly in the conversation, and he's just going to get better. But it's the Knicks are just like, we don't care who we're going to play. We're just going to pop you in the mouth. We're going to play who's ever healthy on our team. We're going to play him as many minutes as we possibly can, and we're going to win. And I got to tell you something. Other than the Celtics in the East, I'm picking the Knicks against everybody else. You know, I read today that Damian Lillard might want out of Milwaukee. Think about that. Because I had seen an article which said people were betting that Paul George is going to go to the Knicks if the Clippers have an early exit. I got news for you. If Damian Lillard wants out of Milwaukee, you might get an exit of Giannis Antetokounmpo, and he might end up on the Knicks. Like, I am not even kidding. Like, if Lillard is not happy, I still was surprised that Giannis signed that contract extension so quickly after Lillard joined the team, because Lillard is like 34 or 35. And the bottom line is, no matter how good a guy looks on paper, at the end of the day, there's no guarantees it's going to fit in right with a team.
I just still don't understand the reason behind the firing of what was his name? They were 31-13 with their.
It wasn't Budenholzer.
It was Griffin, I think, right? Like Adrian Griffin.
Yeah, he was much better.
And they were 31-13, and they fired him. 2 seed in the East.
Unbelievable.
And
unreal. He's gone. And no disrespect to Doc Rivers, like, but he's living off of the championship that the Celtics got in whatever it was, 2008, 2009, whatever it was. Since then, that guy has probably had teams with more talent than any other coach in the league. What, he was a Clippers coach. He was a 76ers coach. And I don't even know. Maybe he got to the conference finals once.
He never did.
Yeah. I mean, so it's like, you know, Thibodeau gets ripped left and right at times. He's old school. He runs hard practices. I think last year there was a poll by The Athletic, and they said that players said that was the coach they wanted to play for the least. And meanwhile, the Knicks just, they go out every day and they just, next man up, everybody plays as hard as they possibly can.
Yeah.
It's unreal. And the Knicks have their draft picks too. They have reasonable contracts. So for those long-suffering Knicks fans out there like ourselves, I mean, the future's bright.
Yeah.
And, you know, the playoffs are going to be interesting. Cause like I said, other than thinking the Celtics are going to get back to the finals just because they've been heads above everybody else.
I mean,
West is wide open.
Celtics Heat or Celtics 76ers, in my opinion, is not a gimme. Like, I expect the Celtics to win. Celtics should have no trouble in the second round versus the Cavs or Magic, but that first round matchup is definitely going to be tough for every single team. And I'm a big LeBron guy. I expect the Nuggets to win, but I don't think the Nuggets have a gimme cakewalk in the first round if they play the Lakers. I think LeBron understands, like, I don't know. Should be interesting, but
I do. I do have to say, I think if the Nuggets play the Lakers, just based on what we saw last year, you know, I mean,
I don't think it's going to be a cakewalk. But
well, I mean, they swept them last year, but we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens. You know, the other thing is, we would be, you know, not doing our jobs again, returning to the Jacobs Dynasty podcast after a year and a half break. Shout out to our boy Jack Posnack. He's been waiting for this for a long time. And hopefully he'll be listening and he'll enjoy the return. So we got to give him a shout out. But we got to mention the phenomenon in NCAA women's basketball that's taken place recently. Tonight was the WNBA draft. Caitlin Clark, the number one pick. And it's so interesting with that because it's like the NCAA tournament ended 2 weeks ago. And unlike the men who don't draft to the end of June, and by the way, the draft this year is going to be a two-night draft, NBA doing something a little bit different. Well, I don't know how many people they're going to get there for night two. You know, the women finish. Caitlin Clark, her team with Iowa is a runner-up.
Yep.
Here we are. She's the number one pick in the draft. And I got to tell you something, the ratings, the phenomenon surrounding her, I think we're going to be on the precipice of an unprecedented increase in growth for fans attending and watching WNBA basketball. I think the value of those franchises is going to go up. I think 31 of their 40 regular season games are going to be on national TV.
I was going to mention that. I think Indiana Fever, the team that she just got drafted to, they went from plus, I think, 8,800 to plus 1,500 to win it all this year. It's only 6 of their games are not televised. And there was one other stat that I saw, but just crazy. And a little bit ago, I think earlier today, Serena Williams was talking about buying a women's team or a WNBA team. So definitely crazy in that end. And then it's not even just her. Like, obviously, she is the face. But then you got people like Juju Watkins or Angel Reese, Cameron Brink, just so many different players coming into the WNBA draft that are just going to be the faces. It's like you have
a renaissance era.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you've seen it in Major League Women's Soccer the last couple of years. It's just sports is on fire in so many different areas in a way that it's, I feel like it's never been before. people crave that original content. I love like sports business and reading about that stuff, and it's just amazing. Wrexham FC, just to throw out there, a soccer team that was bought by Ryan Reynolds and I think Rob McInerney. If you understand the way the soccer leagues work, and I'm learning, they've moved up the last 2 years, and they're like, you know, a step away from being in the Premier League. It's just phenomenal watching this all happen. And obviously, in women's sports, it's fun. They deserve the attention. I think I just read Caitlin Clark's rookie contract is like 4 years, $338,000. And I think she got two other offers, one from like
Ice Cube.
Was the Big Three Basketball League for $5 million. And I think Dave Portnoy.
Yeah, $10 million.
You know, one of our role models, to some extent, offered $10 million. Yeah. And by the way, listen, it's been a while since we recorded. We want to start recording on a regular basis going forward. Jacob's Dynasty Sports, love doing this with Jordan and just getting on here and talking. He's in Ann Arbor, I'm in New York. But we also wanted to mention about 5 months ago, we started also a new Instagram site. We'd appreciate everybody could check it out. In addition to Jacob's Dynasty Sports, it's called Go To Guy Sports. There's a story behind it. It's been we'll tell it on a different episode. Don't want to take too much more time tonight. But Go To Guy Sports, follow us on Instagram. We're highlighting different Go To Guys and Go To Gals in various sports every day. Their performances, team performances, individual performances. And I think the unique thing about us that we really enjoy doing is we're highlighting elite high school performances as well. And we're looking to grow that.
Yeah.
And we appreciate any support we can get from the audience.
If you have a nomination for a team or player, just definitely DM either Jacob's Dynasty Sports, Go To Guy Sports. I definitely recommend following both, but we'll definitely post if you guys send over like any nominations or any people you want to get publicity or anything like that. But
no, definitely, definitely. So a lot of fun getting back to this. You turn around, and I think we've been talking recording for, I don't know,
32 minutes.
And it's just stuff we love. We didn't even talk about the NFL other than the Chiefs. We're not going to get into that now, but that's pretty crazy considering the draft is next week. And where is it being held?
Detroit.
I think Jordan is
potentially going, but
better be going.
Yeah, no. Well, we'll get into the NFL draft as it gets closer, but it's just like you have all these crazy WNBA draft, like the NBA playoffs right around the corner. But like I see Aaron Rodgers was at like the Jets like voluntary workouts, and like I get a giddy feeling. Not a gritty feeling, a giddy feeling. Just
a giddy feeling.
Getting ready for the NFL season next year.
I think the Jets actually updated their logo. I saw.
Yeah, and the line
going like old school.
Yeah, but I mean, should be fun. A lot of stuff going on, and yeah,
we didn't even talk about the Masters, but that's all good. Appreciate everybody joining. We love doing it.
Shout out Jack Posnack.
Shout out Jack Posnack. Follow Go To Guy Sports, Jacob's Dynasty Sports. We're building a mini empire here.
Acknowledge us. All right.
Thanks so much for joining us, everybody.
And we're going to try to be posting more often. So hold us accountable if we don't post at least once a week or twice a week. But we're really going to try to get more episodes out there, especially I'll be home. Summer's approaching. Should be a good time. So definitely tune in. All right.
Absolutely.
Peace,
guys.
Thanks,
everybody.